And now, from the Mammoth Oasis and Down Under, it's the Sports Stump Podcast with me, Joe Canale, and our special guest, Andrew Mensel, all the way from Sydney. Is it Sydney? Am I right?
It is Sydney, Joe. Sydney, Australia.
Sydney, Australia. All right, hold on. This music's still playing. Oh, my God.
I love your theme music, by the way. Really one of the strongest parts of your show.
Is the theme music? And now it's over.
It's all downhill from there usually, but continue.
Yeah, that's true. It is downhill pretty much. Let me just make sure all the levels are where they're supposed to be. Okay. Always good to do your sound check while recording. All right. So first of all, as we were speaking seconds before we got on the line here, together, you and I. It is the anniversary of a place where we first met, the Boom Chicago Theater in Amsterdam.
Which you should explain what that is, because literally no one would have heard of it.
It's a theater that does American sketch comedy in Amsterdam, in English, incorporating more and more, I would guess, Dutch politics and social commentary.
Yeah, and just by good fortune, it has launched the career of a few people that have gone on to do very well. Seth Meyers, Ike Barinholtz, Jordan Peele, Oscar winner.
That's right.
But purely coincidence, I feel, having been to the Chicago.
I'll tell you what, the people who hire there, good identifiers of talent. That's what I'll say.
Not sure about that. They struck gold a couple of times.
Oh, just a few times.
There's a bit of coal in.
You didn't mention me in there, but you're doing this podcast right now, so we're both in the world of podcasting, which I think we have a leg up on all those other people, unless they decide to start a podcast.
Yeah, and look, it's really hard to do a podcast and get into the podcast industry, so I think it's going to be a real challenge for our friends, especially the really famous ones, to get into podcasting.
Oh my gosh, if Jordan Peele started a podcast, poor guy, be horrible. Just by coincidence. The sketch group I'm in, the one video that has more than like 100 views, he was in, just so happens. We cast him well in that. So that has nothing to do with anything either. Now, you have a successful...
My favorite memory of being in Boom Chicago, one of my many favorite memories, is dressing up as your mother for a Halloween costume.
That's right,
so
yes.
So Ike Barinholtz was your father, I was your mother, a very... well-endowed mother, I have to say. Very big chest.
You know,
I'm very proud of my chest that night, actually.
And honestly, this is probably horrible to hear, even more horrible to say. But later in life, I realized that my mother was stacked, in fact, which is not something that, like, ever came to mind at any point. But then at some point, I don't know if, like, my brother or sister said, but I was like, oh, my goodness, I did not know this. But of course,
how was that moment of realization, Joe? When you
I should have realized, you know,
for the first time in a different way.
Almost every woman I've ever dated basically has those dimensions in one way or another. So I should have realized, and I also, you know, strive to get that, you know, maternal relationship with any woman I'm dating, just for the sickness of it all. I'm kidding, of course.
Well, if we keep going down this road,
we shouldn't.
The next half an hour, it'll be like most boring podcasts.
That's true. And to be fair, I mean, as perverse as you or I may be, I believe your brother may be one of the most perverse people I've ever met in my life. Would you agree?
I agree.
Okay.
He keeps it well hidden.
It's
keeps it in a dark place.
But exactly. But when they show it to you, then you see it deeply. I know a few other people like that. I won't mention them. Some are in the industry where when you actually see, you're like, ah, my brother's actually kind of like that, too. Anyway, on to your podcast, which is popular and has national acclaim, if not in this nation, in the one that you're in. Tell me a little bit about it, because we're going to talk a little bit about that, too.
Okay, so I host and produce the cricket podcast called Cricket Unfiltered. I do it for a company here called News Corp, which is Rupert Murdoch's media arm here in Australia.
You must be very proud.
I am very proud.
Yes.
It's really throwing all your morality out the window is something to be proud of.
There you go. Well, I have to say, your podcast may actually be the most like worthwhile thing he's producing. You may be the high end. So that's, you know, that's something.
That's right. Some of my colleagues do excellent work.
Oh, certainly. I mean, when you own as much as he does, you're going to encompass all kinds of people.
Exactly. But look, I have a lot of listeners in America.
Sure.
If I go onto the American iTunes store, there's a lot of great reviews over in the States. There's a lot of expats from all around the world that live in America. And
sure.
Podcasts are a great way.
That's
of
great.
Keeping up with cricket.
Would they like to keep up with random other sports items? Because they should become listeners to this ridiculous
definitely.
Thing. Yeah.
The sports dump. Well, now that you've got me on, and when I share this, obviously you'll get a big uptick.
Going to get that bump. Like the dump's getting
like
a bump.
Like the Jordan Peele effect.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. We may double our listeners, and that would not be difficult.
I did find, though, that all it takes is a huge controversy in Australian cricket,
yeah.
And Americans become quite interested in cricket very quickly. I was quite shocked when CNN called me
yeah.
a few months ago and wanted me to appear on talking about the biggest controversy in Australian cricket, where the team was caught cheating on the field and it was beamed to the world live on television. It set off a chain of events that was unprecedented in the history of Australian cricket.
And what was the event? Was this the World Championships?
So, no, this was a test match
okay.
between Australia and South Africa, a bilateral test match.
Great. So like a friendly
yeah.
in soccer, would you say, or a little more important than that?
No, they have an overall context. So they play for a bilateral trophy. It's
got
like
it.
America and Canada played for a hockey trophy or something.
I understand. Okay, so the two countries kind of play for this. It's like this rivalry match.
Correct.
And of course, in cricket, it can go 2 or 3 days, correct?
So it's a 5-day match.
Oh, okay.
And they've played each other over the last few years, and there's been a history of sort of niggling each other and sledging each other, you know, a little bit of personal abuse on the field.
Certainly.
A few things said on the media. I think the South African captain called the Australians, they were like a wild pack of dogs when they were on the field. So this has been sort of building for a few years.
Yes,
and then
yes.
At the end of one of the matches, two of the players almost had a scuffle coming off the field.
Okay.
In a sort of hallway out of sight of the public but caught on CCTV. Allegedly one said something about the other one's wife.
Oh.
And it kicked off a bit of a stink.
Something
so
nice or something
some
mean?
Some history there.
I'm guessing he said something mean about the other guy's wife.
Very mean.
Very mean. Not
and,
something
well,
nice.
As he said, vile and disgusting.
Oh, dear. Hold on a second. Despite the temperature, I'm turning off the air conditioning.
Is that better? Will my sound be better now?
Oh, your sound's been great. The air conditioning just came on. But I'm willing to go the extra mile for this. So
good dedication.
My dedication. Well, I canceled doing another one earlier today because I knew I was going to do this. So, and I got a haircut instead.
That's the Joe I know and love.
That's right. I did get a haircut, but I've noticed I've been doing this daily sports dump jokes thing. So on the Facebook page and also on our YouTube page and on our website, actually, sportsdump.com, each day I do, you know, like 2 minutes of jokes, maybe 1 minute of jokes, 3-4 jokes about sports. And sometimes when I'm videotaping, you know, I'm sitting on the toilet because it's this morning sports dump, you know.
Yeah, I've seen it many times.
Yeah, you get it.
Yeah, I just try to work out what your strike rate is with sort of jokes that are funny in that 2 minutes.
What do you think it is? I'm going to guess it's probably about, I'm going to think it's about 60 to 80%, and you're probably going to say 40 to 60.
Okay, I was going to say 30 to 40%.
30 to 40. Well, of course, you know, but if you translate, you know, the American currency, it's like 2 to 3 times, so that would be like 90%. Australian,
exactly.
Right?
And obviously, I'm a dumb Australian, so I didn't get some of the American jokes.
I thought you were a Kiwi.
Yes, you can call me whatever you want.
That's not a good thing to call you. For some reason, I did think at some point that you were. I know you're not. But did you live in New Zealand at some point?
No, and you know what, Joe? I've never, ever been to New Zealand. Just the fact, it's like a two-hour flight away, but I always tell people when I go on holiday, I want to go somewhere better than where I live, so why would I go to New Zealand?
Nice. That's a good travel comment to put there. So you're not a Lord of the Rings fan?
I am a Lord of the Rings fan, but not enough to go and look at a mountain where they shot a film at.
Fair point. Very fair point. So again, back to this scandal, which I'm still interested in. The guy who was cheating.
I'll tell you the story. They have the scuffle. Couple of matches later,
yes.
Australia's looking like they're going to lose the series. And what you can do, and I liken this to baseball, you know, like a spitball or
Certainly.
Something. If you weight one side of the ball with an artificial substance,
yes,
it'll move in the air and make it harder to hit.
Yes. There are a few people, a number, I would say, who are in the Hall of Fame who owe it to the spitball. I'm going to guess the number's probably between 5 and 10. Phil Niekro, Gaylord Perry, Don Sutton being 3. So in our country, at some point, we celebrate the cheaters, of course.
Yeah, so it's been a bit like that in cricket in the sense that you've been able to meddle with the ball a little bit to get it moving in the air.
Right.
But, you know, it's all about degrees of tampering with the ball. So in the past, there was a little bit more lenient, but now it's become quite strict. You're not allowed to obviously tamper with the ball or put an artificial substance, but players still do it a little bit. They might put a bit of gel in their hair or
sure.
The South African captain got caught with a sweet in his mouth. So you get some sugary saliva,
yes.
Put it on the ball.
Clever.
So that's what I do.
A sugar daddy or something. That'd be great. So then your spit's
exactly.
like gooey.
Exactly. So you get it. You're a born cheat. So,
well, tobacco also players use.
Exactly. So all that's now at a point in cricket where if you got caught obviously doing something, you were going to get in trouble. And the Australians took it one step further and they took a piece of yellow sandpaper on the field. And what they were hoping to do was use the sandpaper in a subtle way to sort of rough up one side of the ball. And then if you rough up one side of the ball swings in the air like a spitball. So the Australians got caught with a bit of sandpaper on the field and it was
sure.
beamed live on television.
Absolutely. And that's what technology has done now. You can't do that. 100 years ago, nobody knew, you know. They played until dusk, you know, 5-6 o'clock at night in baseball, at least I'm talking about, or in cricket, you know. Now with the scrutiny and the replay and all the cameras, there's no time that you're not being watched, essentially. Big Brother is watching everyone out there.
Exactly. And it's always historically happened that the team that's on tour is the one that usually gets caught because the home broadcaster that has control of the TV focuses on the other team rather than their own team.
Ah.
So, you know, there was some suggestion that the South Africans were using some methods to get their ball swinging, but of course the South African broadcasting network is going to focus more on busting the Australians than busting the South Africans.
Can you say get their ball swinging again? I just want to isolate that in case I need that later on. Is that an actual term?
Yeah, you've got to get your ball swinging.
Like, well, true. Yeah. That's you know, it's applicable in a number of situations, I suppose.
Exactly, and it moves in the air like a pitch moves in the air in baseball. But,
right. I think the parallels are very obvious with baseball. Again, except for and actually in baseball, and we can because we're going to transition to this. But I still want to find out what the ramifications are. But with the Yankees Red Sox series, Pineda was caught. Was it last year or the year?
2 years ago, I think.
Yeah,
he had that
2 years ago.
Pine tar on his
neck. So to me, that's very similar. Again, 30, 40 years ago, those guys I named, Charlie Huff, I think, got caught in some regard doing it. Plenty of guys have been caught. But many of those guys are in the Hall of Fame. So, you know, like, it's very strange. I don't think that'll happen anymore with people. but it was a different era back then, I suppose. And I don't know the history of cricket as much, but you could tell me. And now the guys who were caught, they were suspended for quite some time, right?
Yeah, so it was a real sense of, I guess, shame and hurt from the Australian public when they found out what had happened. And what made it worse was the Australian captain did a press conference after that day where he said things that sort of weren't true. And he was very misguided in his comments to the media. And he actually insinuated that it was a whole team conspiracy to do the cheating. But what actually happened was, as this true story's come out, it probably was just a couple of players that went rogue and thought they could get away with something. So you had the Australian public waking up here one morning to the news that your team has been caught cheating red-handed on camera, and the captain has admitted that there was some kind of conspiracy by the team to cheat. Now the Australian cricket team for Australians is very much encapsulates our identity. It's our only national sport played all around the country, and we see the team as the embodiment of our values. Whether that's fair or unfair, that's the sort of pressure we put on our team. And it's often said that the Australian cricket captain is more important than the Australian Prime Minister. So that's the sort of context. And then when this news broke, there was so much shame, disappointment, outrage, anger. It really was the biggest news story in Australia of anything. They were saying since the Prime Minister was chucked out 10 years ago.
Wow.
Voted out. So
which was it? It was voted out, not literally chucked out.
No, he was chucked out. I think he
Wouldn't
was voted out.
Great? Wouldn't it be great? It would. It would be great.
So it was the biggest story scandal to hit Australia in years.
Now,
it was just unprecedented.
Answer this. Now, the captain, is he a veteran or is he a young, newly appointed captain? What is his status? Obviously, as a captain, he's an important player. Was he the pitcher?
He's a batsman, and he is literally the best batsman since our equivalent of Babe Ruth. So Don Bradman is our Babe Ruth. He's the best player to play cricket since for 100 years almost.
Wait a minute.
He's broken records.
What about the guy who retired? Wasn't he Pakistani? He's probably in his late 40s now.
No, you're just pulling out numbers. No, Sachin Tendulkar is Indian.
I apologize.
You've just upset a billion people.
Oh, I'm sure.
And if you had hope of keeping any of them, it's just gone from the cricket.
Hold on a second. I apologize, and I said it inquisitively. I believe I can save it. I know that calling an Indian a Pakistani is probably low on the list of things they want to have happen, so I apologize. Go on. He's the one, the Indian, who I thought was the Babe Ruth or Sadahara O, if you will, of his sport.
Yeah, so look, he's a great as well, but Steve Smith, the Australian captain, was averaging more than anyone else ever has. He was hailed as a hero, but he's quite young, so he's only, I think he's 28, 29 now.
Okay.
So when he was given the captaincy, he was 27. So not an older person.
No.
Not very experienced, and that probably has something to do with the fact that when he saw something going wrong in the dressing room, he didn't step in and say,
right,
"No, guys, this is one step too far."
Perhaps like a Bryce Harper, to make an equivalent to baseball, which you could say, if in fact the Nationals were the national team, that's what's even more important. Is that it is the, you know, and the pitcher who was caught cheating, and I apologize, it's not pitcher. What are they called?
Well, it actually wasn't a bowler. It was two. What happens is the people that tamper with the ball are usually the batsmen who are in the field. They get the ball and do it sort of subtly. It would be too obvious if the bowler was standing there rubbing.
Oh, I see. Okay, so it wasn't even the pitcher. It was his teammate. And again, Yogi Berra used to do that for Whitey Ford, apparently. He'd sharpen his spikes and he'd do that. Okay, so I got it. So they got caught. Oh, that's huge.
Right.
Okay. Now, I'm sorry for my ignorance, but I'm glad I asked.
So Yeah, so they got caught doing it on the side, and that's why. And then they throw it to the bowler, and he goes, oh, this looks good, and then he has a go with it.
Got it. And now, can the bowler change a ball if he doesn't like it?
So, no, in cricket, the ball doesn't change.
Ah.
The only time it changes, after a certain amount of balls, it is changed, and that's 80 overs. So it's 86 ball overs. But if the umpire sees a ball and thinks, hey, this has changed and I don't think the change is natural, they can change it. Say, look, I don't know what you've done, but we're going to change the ball. We're going to keep this ball and you're going to get a fine.
Like if he suspects magic or something, he can do that too?
If he suspects tampering.
Tampering of any kind. Any kind, including magic.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in the wake of that huge scandal, the Prime Minister got involved.
Of course, for political points, I'm sure.
Well, just to weigh in this, you know, the unacceptable standards, and
right.
he wanted to make sure it was sorted out. Obviously, political grandstanding, but, you know, we literally had cricket in this country destroyed. The captain has been suspended for a year. His vice-captain has been suspended for a year. Another player has been suspended for 9 months. The coach has resigned.
Whoa.
And they're having a full cultural review into the state of Australian cricket, which is running parallel to the review I'm undertaking on my podcast. So between the two of them, we will get some answers.
You are doing an anti-cultural review?
No, I'm doing a parallel cultural review, but I'm asking the real questions.
Oh, got it. Oh, I like that. Well, I mean, cricket is a sport that I think, well, we got to catch on to soccer first, so we got a ways to go. I don't think it's our lifetime where I'll see it over here that popular. But I do remember from cruise ships in the islands of the Caribbean, it is quite popular because we saw a bunch of cricket fields.
Well, it's the third most popular sport in the world. Sort of, it's the first is obviously football. Then you've got basketball and cricket, about the same on player numbers. They're sort of
not body surfing.
Two and three.
I thought body surfing was up in those top couple. No,
was that an attempt at a joke or?
Wow. So that's like a 10%. So that would be a 30% up here that I get on that.
Yeah, that didn't make the cut.
Well, you knew it was an attempt, at least. There were a few others that just passed by unacknowledged completely. So at least that
sometimes
one.
Sometimes you gotta let him breathe. Just let those jokes breathe.
Absolutely, and I have a certain time limit I want to get to as well. So, I was mentioning the rivalry, and we can pivot here. Unless there's anything, I mean, that is big news. A year off, and can he play on his professional team, or is he just out of the biz completely?
They can play overseas in professional leagues that aren't international standards. So there's I'm watching now, Canada has its own cricket league that's just started this year. So they're over there playing in Canada just outside Toronto. There's a league there that's not
Wait. You're not
in the woods.
You're watching something else right now?
Like I was watching this morning.
Oh, but right now I have your undivided attention.
Sort of.
Well, what do you mean sort of?
What was that? Joe, is it?
Oh, well, is that your attempt at a joke? Touche. You have to go to work soon.
Yeah, not for a little while.
Do you want to plug your business? Do you want to be our sponsor today?
Well, actually, we do have a lot of American clientele that come to my cafe called Two Good Eggs Cafe. We have a really good TripAdvisor rating, so that brings a lot of Americans in.
Yeah, Two Good Eggs. I'll try to figure out how to like put a link to your website. I've seen the menu. I looked it up. I don't know why. It's going to be a long time before I get there, but it looked good.
Yeah, I should put a warning that it'll make you hungry if you read our menu because there's just bacon and all good stuff everywhere.
Well, I mean, you shouldn't put a warning up. I mean, I think you should let people discover it because if you put the warning up, they'd be like, then maybe I shouldn't look at it. Skip the warning, man. Until the government makes you do it, skip the warning on everything.
Okay. I did have this great croissant in L.A., which was scrambled eggs, bacon, onion, and cheese.
Yes.
That we do as a special at Two Good Eggs sometimes as an ode to my fun times in L.A.
Denny's?
Very popular.
Denny's, you had that?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
All right, nice. Well, if you want Denny's but the Australian version, go to Two Good Eggs in Sydney. There we go. That was a good plug. You're as close to a sponsor as we've gotten. All right, so let's pivot here to the Red Sox and Yankees briefly. I'm scared. It's, you know, there's actually something on the line here because the team that loses then has to go into a one-game playoff.
Yeah, it's an incredible season because you've got two teams that are like juggernauts running away with the sort of AL title of being the two best teams in the league.
Not,
but they're in the same division, and you know, you could have one of the teams eliminated after one game and someone like the Cleveland Indians going through 20-30 less wins.
Right. Yeah, that is kind of crappy, but you know, that makes the division interesting actually. And, you know, it's not the first time the Yankees and Red Sox have been the two best teams in baseball. Now, you are a Red Sox fan, just to clarify, and I am not. And a few years ago, you were over here, and you went on a tour with the Red Sox. And I like to think you did we meet up before you went on the tour?
Yeah, we met before, after.
Right.
It was a painful tour.
Yeah.
You were there before the soul destroying started.
Yeah. I would love to think I in some way jinxed them for you. Not to you personally, but more to them. You're a byproduct, unfortunately. You're collateral damage in it all. But I like to think somehow I contacted you and bad mojoed you and you brought it on the tour. Because didn't they lose like 11-12 or something?
It was shocking. Yeah, I think I went to like 12 games and I saw two wins. But I think the first six were losses. I think I was like none from six.
Oh, my God. That is horrible. Because you went to what? Houston, New York, Boston?
Started in Anaheim.
Anaheim, of course. Yeah.
Houston, Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Terrible.
Good, good, good. Maybe this will do the same to them this year. That would be great. Do you have any plans to come out here and do the tour this year?
I only like to come out when they're really bad. That's what I've worked out. Whenever I seem to time a trip to Boston, they're really bad. So last year, I actually was really lucky. I got to see the Red Sox clinch the division at Fenway Park.
Ooh.
But it took them about four goes to do it.
Yeah.
So it was me and a mate there for three nights ready to celebrate. My mate goes home and I'm there for one day by myself on the day that they clinched the division. So what am I going to do, celebrate by myself?
You probably did, right?
Not really.
Oh.
I think I had one quiet beverage and then sulked back to my hotel.
Oh, I almost feel bad for you, world traveler.
But I want to – now, I sent you a sort of random message recently about my sort of crisis that I'm having with baseball at the moment.
Yes. And yes, you did. Let's talk about it. Go.
I have this sort of feeling this year – the baseball hasn't been able to grab me like it's grabbed me in the past. You know, I just feel that, and I've got some facts here to back it up, but I just feel that it's maybe not gathering pace to keep up with the rest of the world. And, you know, this sort of time warp game of baseball, it's becoming outdated.
Yes. Well, listen, America, you know, America is... Right, this is a problem. Football too, the two biggest sports in America. Now basketball has, you know, made its case to overtake. You still there? I still got you.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You popped in and out. Baseball and football are like American only sports. Now they've drifted off to other countries a little bit. But like we are so proud of the fact that we don't embrace any of the sports that are worldwide. Other than a few Olympic sports, you know, depending on how our athletes are doing. So there is a stubbornness, I think, amongst these leagues and culturally in general, I think, to just be like, no, we're going to keep it like it is or even go backwards. So you've got some pushback, like the way it takes people so long to grab onto analytics, like. It's like science. Analytics are science. And you're saying, no, I don't want science. I want my skewed perspective with all my prejudices and everything and my faulty memory over your scientific analysis. It took years and years. So you're dealing with that. Sorry for the diatribe.
No, I understand. It's a huge cultural shift. But I sent you an article by Dan Shaughnessy, respected columnist for the Boston Globe, and he had some interesting facts.
What is this, a name drop contest or something? Season. Are you friends with him or something? You get a
no. I just read his stuff. I'm just doing appropriate accreditation to my source.
Great. Okay. You didn't need to build him up so much, though.
I said he was a respected columnist. I mean, I would have said that about you, so it doesn't mean much. So it's the lowest attendance since 2003 this year. But this is he's got a stat here from Tom Verducci that the average time between balls in play in a game of baseball is 3 minutes and 45 seconds.
That means
there's like almost 4 minutes between any action. I mean, you tell that to a 20-year-old kid, this is what you're going to watch for 3 hours. They will not be interested.
No.
Gone. And goodbye. Out the door.
I agree.
See you later. Baseball's dead.
Same thing with football. I mean, that's even slower than football. Now, you get pitches more frequently than that, but there are so many taken pitches and so many swings and misses that the ball is never in play. Or home runs. You know, they've come to this three outcome kind of situation with everybody where basically the ball doesn't touch the field anywhere. So that is a problem. I think they're going to end up lowering the mound again. They'll lower the mound and then they'll widen the strike zone. So guys have to swing more and they'll have more balls in play. And then you'll see people going against the shift as it becomes a game of more, you know, small ball again. There's these transitions, but I think they need to make the transition now, you know, and football as well. Like, that's what's so stubborn. As I've gotten more and more into soccer, it's perfect. It's 45 minutes. It's continuous play. Then you can take a piss at halftime, 45 more minutes. And unless it's a tournament, then you know what time it's over. Yes, there's ties, but at least your schedule is like, okay, or going to a game, you know what it's going to be. And yet we're so resistant to it just because there's not the scoring. It's this World Cup, if people haven't watched it, they've really missed out.
Yeah, I've been watching. Obviously, my wife's from England, so I'm still recovering from their loss. But just back on the baseball,
for the first
time in history, baseball features more strikeouts than hits. And it's not fun seeing strikeout after strikeout. It's just not a good spectacle. And my theory is, and this is where my cricket, and this is why I want to sort of bring the two topics together, Joe. This is my professional podcasting coming out. So
yeah, you've really got this all structured.
In cricket, we have three forms of the game. We have a five-day version, which is for the purists, and then we have two other versions where they reduce the number of balls each team can face. So one game, it's 50 overs, which is six ball overs, so a team faces 300 balls and they have to score as many runs as they can. But then they've even a shorter version, which is a 20-over competition, which each team just has 120 balls to face and they have to score the most runs off those balls. And that competition, the T20 competition, has revolutionized world cricket. It is taken off all around the world. There are competitions cropping up everywhere. It's making money. The crowds are flocking in. So there is still the pure form of the game for big fans like me who will watch a game for 5 days.
Right.
But we'll also watch a game that takes 3 hours.
Like
as you say, a football game, you know, going to start at 3, it's going to finish at 6, and that's it.
Well, that's,
so
I mean,
what I'm suggesting is baseball needs to think about doing something like that. Maybe going from 9 innings to 7 innings. And I know that seems like a radical concept, but you would sort of cut out those middle innings where the game sort of drifts along. You're sort of waiting to get to the closes and the climax of the game, and you're waiting for a possible rally.
Yep.
And just cut the game down. Rather than changing the mound or the strike zone, you do something so simple, and it would bring the game into that probably 2.5 hour mark, which sort of would sit, I think, a lot better with this new generation.
It would, but I think then you would have to do some other things, like then get rid of the DH and the pitcher doesn't hit, so that the lineup turns over quicker. If you're reducing the innings, guys are going to want their at-bats to stay the same. You could also reduce
this. I would bring DH to both leagues. Why would you
yes.
take away
Well,
DH?
That's what I would do now.
You want more
I'm saying,
talent in the league. You want better hitters.
Sure, but I'm saying what I'm saying is that you're in your system, you're going to have pushback, and that might be a consequence. You could also shorten the season. That's not a bad idea. It works with cricket really well because if people are used to watching a five-day tournament and then you reduce it to what would be a 2 or 3 hour situation, you're saying, basically?
Correct, yeah.
That's a dream in that circumstance. It'd be like playing a half of football. The urgency is so much more. So I can see the appeal of that, actually, and your argument has some validity there. I think you just that's a drastic change, especially 7 innings. You could go to 8 innings in September and then 9 in the playoffs or something just to keep it like that because you'll have more attention at that point. But it would get pitchers to win more often.
I think you need a drastic change. I think that baseball will die out if there is not a revolution brought to the sport.
Yep. True.
And for me, who loves the sport, I find it harder to watch the games now because they are so slow and you look at the alternatives of entertainment, they're just more entertaining than most games of baseball. And what doesn't help this year in the baseball is there's such this imbalance between some of the teams. So, you know, when the Yankees and the Red Sox play each other, well, that's a ding-dong battle.
Yeah.
But when, right. you know, the Red Sox play yeah. the Orioles, there's not much at stake.
At all. You're right. There is too much imbalance. Well, this is my ride is here, believe it or not. I'm going to do I'm going to try to go to an open mic, which is a nightmare, but I have to go.
So I hope I've warmed you up.
You have. This has been great. Plug your podcast one more time.
If you like cricket, search Cricket Unfiltered Podcast on any podcast app, Spotify, you name it. It's there.
There it is. Well, thank you, and I'm sorry that the two of us aren't in Amsterdam right now, but maybe later.
Well, those sad people that haven't moved on with their lives can enjoy their reunion. We'll just keep moving ahead.
Yeah.
We'll look forward yeah. and not back.
Exactly. Very good. All right. Have a good one.
Thanks, Joe. All right. Take care.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.